Today's the day that we celebrate fathers. Past couple of weeks, you know, we try to put a good spin on everything. The past couple of weeks, I've had several people tell me about their experiences with their father. And it wasn't good. I want to talk to you about the perfect father today. All of you have fathers. Everyone here. None of them are perfect. My father was an exceptional gentleman as far as Christian. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. As a young man starting out in his family, he didn't have a lot. He had a sixth grade education. And so he started out when he and Mom got married and had us kids cutting corn with a corn chopper. That was his job. He cut fields of corn, shock them up in the field. And that's how they made a living. Later on in life, he became a carpenter and worked in construction. He got me my summer jobs in high school, working construction. He taught me the trade of carpentry. He was a fine woodworker. Never made much money throughout his life. But he taught me how to work with my hands. And my experiences with him were two: church and work. He never threw a ball for me to catch. He never took me fishing. He never took me hunting. We never did anything in the way of recreation. The only thing I can remember is that one time after I was a teenager, he took me up where Whitetail is now. Wasn't there then, but that was his stomping grounds as a teenager himself growing up. Up in that mountain. We went up in there and he showed me some of the places where he used to go there on the mountain back when he was a boy. It's the only thing that we ever did in the way of recreation. But I look back and I see and I appreciate very deeply he taught me how to pray by experience. He taught me the Word of God. And he taught me a good set of morals. And so I appreciate those things. Now let me tell you just a little bit about his father. My grandfather. My dad was born to a very young, single, uneducated girl. And his dad was known throughout the community of having many children by many other young girls and married women. That was his reputation. After Dad was born, well, I doubt that there was ever any contact from his dad from the time he was conceived. He never came to see my father. He never made a phone call to him. He never wrote him a letter. He never spent a dime in helping him to grow up. My dad didn't know who his dad was until he went to grade school. And when he found out, he changed his name from Mills. My father's name on his birth certificate is Mills. When he found out who his father was, he changed his last name on his own to represent that of his dad's name. He grew up without any contact with his father throughout his life. He got married. The only contact he had with his father, when he was married and finally got a car, he drove clear to Baltimore, Maryland, to start a relationship with his shipbuilding dad. Dad, my grandfather never came to see him. And yet, he wanted so much to be identified with his father that he would walk over a mountain as a teenager to visit his grandfather, my great-grandfather, so he could know something about the family and the family name. That's why I'm a Lay today instead of a Mills. Just a little bit of that to let you know that I had a great father as far as I'm concerned. I appreciate the things that I learned from him, and I appreciate what he taught me. But his father, on the other hand, as far as a father and to my father, had very little bit to proclaim as being a father. So you see the picture, and as I've said, I've had other people in the last couple of weeks telling me their experiences with their father, and many of them were not good. There were alcoholics. There were beatings, there were abuse, and things of that nature. But I want to point you to the perfect Father this morning. Where's that scripture? Our Heavenly Father is perfect in every way. And He's the example that we need to look to. He's the example that we need to follow. Number one, He is a provider. You parents, He said, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father, hallelujah, give good gifts to those who ask Him? He is telling us here that in our lives, if we trust Him, if we believe in Him, He will provide for our needs. Even though we were a poor family, Dad worked hard, but he never made much money. We were a poor family. We always had food on the table. Now when I go to the closet and I get a bag of Gibbles out of the closet to eat, I remember back that my snacks when I was a boy growing up were not chips, not popcorn. None of that ever entered the house. I'd take two saltine crackers, butter two slices of bread, and put the saltines between the crackers, and that was my snack. We didn't have the things of life that we have now. I remember Dad going to work, and I never really thought about this until years and years later. He never had the bologna, or he never had ham, or he never had anything like that to make sandwiches to go to work. He poured cereal in a jar, poured milk in it, and screwed the top on, and that's what he ate every day at work for his lunch. Why? He didn't have enough money to buy the other stuff. That's what he ate. leaving for we kids. I remember I had to work in the summertime in order to make enough money to buy my school clothes for the year. He didn't have the money to buy school clothes. I had to work and buy it myself. But we didn't have much, but there was always food on the table. I want you to know that the Lord in heaven said, He made you a promise as your heavenly Father that you will never go without. Thank the Lord for my grandson. He found my Bible. That's not possible. No, that's not it. That's the wrong one. It'll show up. I'm preaching now. Thanks. I appreciate it. I did bring it to church. God has promised you He will always meet your needs. He said, if we here on the earth know how to give good things to our kids, we don't give them things that are harmful. He used old time things like bread and fish, you know. What he's saying, he'll provide food. If we as natural fathers provide food and clothing for our children, how much more will your heavenly Father provide your needs for you? If you ask Him, He is the provider. Roll that second slide. If God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that they are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about those things saying, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. I prayed that this morning. He knows that you need food to eat. He knows the little bird that needs something to eat every day. He knows the rabbits in my backyard need lilies, my wife's lilies to eat. So He causes them to grow up, and we sit at the dinner table eating ours, watching the rabbits eat the lilies. She even runs out and chases them off. 5 minutes later, they're back. Who provides for that rabbit? God does. And if He knows what you have need of, He said, He seek the kingdom of God above and all of that, and He live righteously, and He will give you everything that you want. How many have a lot of your wants? Things you want. If God were to take everything out of your house that you wanted, what would you have left? What you need. Yeah. I was reading an article the other day. What's it mean to be Amish? And an Amish man was standing talking to these tourists, and he said to them, how many of you have a television? All their hands went up. And he said, how many would think that it would be nice to get rid of your television? And all the hands went up. And then he said to them, how many of you will go home and get rid of your televisions? And no hands went up. And he said, that's the difference between you and being an Amish. You see, our needs is what God said He would supply. And I'm telling you, He's a good provider. He will provide all your needs so you can trust in Him. Now, like my dad, I didn't get everything I wanted. And I learned very early in life not to want so much. I learned that if I wanted to really have something, then I would work to have it and take care of it, because he didn't have it to hand to me. Roll that next scripture, Emily. Our Heavenly Father is a good disciplinarian. How many of you have ever gotten a spanking? I never did. And Neoma can testify, I never needed one. Now's the time to tell the truth. You see, they just never caught me. How many knows that all of us need some discipline in our lives? Amen. Listen to what it says. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as His children? He said, "My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when He corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those He loves. And He punishes each one He accepts as His child." The reason that a child, or the reason that a parent disciplines their child is to be not because they're angry, but because they love that child and the child has done something contrary to good rules, and therefore the parent wants them to learn a good lesson. That came directly from God. He loves you. How many of you know that God loves you? He loves you, and when you do wrong, He wants to correct so that you will learn to do what is right. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you, He does all as He does all His children. It means that you are illegitimate and not really His children at all. So the reason that God disciplines you, and He never disciplines you out of anger, He disciplines you out of righteousness and out of love and out of the desire for you to live the kind of life that is pleasing to Him. I've had God smack me over the ears a few times. Amen? Anybody else? I've had the Lord get my attention when I did wrong. Amen. He convicted me in my heart. He convicted me in my soul. And He allowed things to happen that wouldn't have happened if it were not for my wrong actions. And He set me straight. After I found out what I had done and I got it right with God, then I began to learn, Lord, I love You for that. Amen. Lord, I thank You for that. I thank You for setting me straight. Thank You for getting me right. And that's why fathers are to be the disciplinarians. How many times have I heard kids tell me, boy, I'm telling you what, I do wrong, and Mom would promise us, just wait till your daddy gets home. And when daddy got home, look out, man. My wife, her mom didn't wait for daddy to get home. She told her girls, and of course this is what you have to do when you have a family of all girls. Amen. She'd tell them, you go out there on the tree and pick a switch. And they went out on the tree and picked a switch off the tree and came in, handed it to Mama, and Mama made use of the switch. I almost put in my baccalaureate message the other week to the seniors at Smithsburg High. There are times when you need to apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning to get some understanding. But I left it out because I knew there were some people sitting there would say, now he's a child abuser. But God is a good disciplinarian. And aren't you glad that He sets us straight? He loves us, and it's because of His love. He provides for us because He loves us. He provides our needs, and He also gives us discipline. Next slide. Our Heavenly Father is our security. There was a little boy. Dad was laying down with him. He was frightened. He's seeing all of those shadows in his room at night. And he said to his daddy, I'm afraid. And his daddy said, I'm not afraid of anything. And I'm right here. And the little boy turned over and said, well, Daddy, if you're not afraid, I'm not afraid either. And went back, went to sleep. Our Heavenly Father is our security. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. He wants to protect us. Sister Pearl, He knows which apartment you live in Elizabeth Court. Brother John, He sees you up there in Waynesboro and all of your children, and guess what? He's watching out over your property. Amen? Yeah. Over in Sevillaville. God can get into Sevillaville. He knows where it is, tucked down there in between the mountains. And He knows where the Benzels live on Benzel Lane. And God is there to give security. He knows when I get in that pickup truck and head for Baltimore, He sends a couple more angels to watch after me. Amen? I'm going down through those streets of Baltimore and get to Martin Luther King, and the houses are boarded up, and it looks to me like shotgun barrels sticking out between every house. And I say, Lord, I'm glad I've got You riding with me. You're my security. How many believe and know the Lord watches over who He loves? He said His eyes go to and fro throughout the earth, looking and watching and taking care. I remember the story of a blind missionary in the jungles. He knew his way through the major paths and trails through the jungle. He knew how to go from village to village, though he couldn't see a thing. There were cases where people were walking close to him and they saw him step over snakes he never saw. And he just stepped right over them. The story is told about one evening he left a village and headed for another village, and he got partway through the jungle and darkness caught him. And he was out there in the day. He knew it was nighttime. He just had that sense. And so he thought, well, I'll just lay down here by the trail. Not knowing that a group of tribesmen were following him to do him harm because they didn't like the message he was preaching to their fellow villagers. And so, while he was sleeping, those tribesmen gathered around him, the warriors, to do him harm, to take his life. But he got awake in the morning and got up and kept on his journey and went to the next village. And sometime later, one of the warriors came to him after he accepted Christ, and he said, on such and such a night, you slept in the jungle alongside the trail, and there was a group of us warriors. We were going to kill you and take your life. But he said, when we came into your camp where you were sleeping, where you were laying, there was a lot of great big men standing around you. Who were they? They were the angels of heaven, whom God sent I'm telling you what, I don't care where you go in life. Your father tried to protect you. Your father tries to lead you in the right direction and give you provision for your life and give you security. But there is no better security than the God of heaven. Our heavenly Father, He cares about you, and so He follows you and He does everything within His power to keep you safe in His arms. Next slide. Our Heavenly Father has a personal relationship with His children. I was watching the news the other day, and a soldier came home from Afghanistan, unbeknown to his two little boys. And he walked in, and they happened to look up, and wow, they leaped out of their seat and ran and grabbed him around the neck, and the tears were flowing. I don't know, maybe you've seen that little ad. I don't know what it's all about, but there's another ad about a daddy coming home from the service. And there was this little girl, couldn't be over 2.5, maybe 3. But she's turned around and saw Daddy, and she just grabs him by the neck and, "Oh, Daddy, 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 Daddy." I remember some years ago, I was at the elementary school at Cascade, and a father came home from Iraq, and some granddad, he got a hold of that WHAG, and they showed up with a camera, and they showed it on the news. Little boy came out of grade school class that day out through the cafeteria to go home. Papa's waiting on him there, but so is his big daddy. And he runs across the gym and leaps into his arms. There's a relationship. And our Heavenly Father has a relationship with His children. Sometimes our relationships down here get broken. I was blessed to have my father move next door to me. I was blessed to have the privilege when he wanted to go visiting people that he knew on several occasions to take him. And I look back now, and there were times when I had other things to do, and I was a little impatient at times. And I, you know, "Come on, Dad, can't you get this over? And so that I can get back, and I've got to go to the hospital, I've got to go do this and do that." If I had it over again, I would have taken all the time in the world. That relationship is important. I didn't want anything to come between that. And I'm telling you what, I've got a relationship with my Heavenly Father. I can talk to Him. How many here can talk to Him? How many know He loves you and you love Him? He provides your needs. He gives you protection. He is your security. And now He is your personal relationship. "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I knew it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born every day of my life." Our Father, our Heavenly Father, is always there. He's always nearby. He desires to have relationship with you. He desires to share in your life. And any time that we're too busy for Him, any time that we don't have enough time to talk with Him, any time that we don't have enough time to share some moments with our Heavenly Father, He is sitting there in heaven wanting and wishing and waiting for us to have time of fellowship with Him. I don't know what kind of relationship you've had with your earthly father. I hope it's been good. I hope it has been wonderful. But I know there's no perfect earthly father. Someplace, somewhere, something will be missing that you will miss in your life. But I'm telling you, there is a perfect Father. And those of you that are fathers here, I want you to seek Him out as an example to you as to how you can be an earthly father. And those of you that may have had some negative experiences with your earthly father, look to the Heavenly Father as an example for you when you become a father. And look to Him for the strength and the sustenance and the things of life that you need that maybe you've not gotten from a flawed earthly father. How many of you will stand with me this morning and you'll say, I look to God as the leader of my life. I look to Him as my provider. I look to Him as my disciplinarian. I look to Him as my security. I look to Him for a loving relationship that will embrace my life. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to You today for what You mean to us. Today is a special day, and it's a day in which we recognize our earthly fathers. And, oh Lord, and I guess in the most part we all are thankful in some way, some shape, some form, though we see the deficiencies in earthly men, earthly fathers, yet we are grateful for the good things that they have brought to our lives. We're grateful for the good things they have taught us. We're grateful for the relationship that we do have. But Lord, we look to You as the Supreme Father. And we put our trust and our assurance and our dependence in You. For there will never be a father to us as good as what You are. Thank You for Your fathership. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Amen.